Hello, welcome in. This is the Thanksgiving edition of the Rebel Room. I am Taylor Byrne alongside colleagues Case Kiefer, Ray Brewer, a day later than normal as I finished traveling back from New York out east covering the UNLV basketball team's participation in the Coaches versus Cancer Classic, where they came away with a 1-1 result, which was better than what happened to UNLV football out on the Big Island. We'll get into both of those things and looking ahead to the doubleheader Saturday with basketball taking on Albany at 3:30 in the afternoon before the battle for the Fremont Cannon Saturday night. But I want to start with this, Ray. 29-point loss, 7-point win. UNLV comes away from the Barclays Center 1-1. What's your overall takeaway from the weekend?
I think that with such a young team, you have to give them credit for, as bad as they lost on Friday, to be able to come back and not put a good game together against Temple, but just to scrap and do enough to beat Temple, to only give up 50 points. And I get it, yeah, Temple is offensively challenged.
Yes, that's a nice way to put it.
They still only gave up 50 points. They responded getting absolutely blasted on national TV in a game that they kind of had circled on the calendar to make a statement, and they were just so awful in, to use the 24-hour rule, which is don't forget about a loss, or, you know, don't let a loss overhang or a win over whatever, to come back and to beat Temple, I think speaks volumes. They're 3-1. Yeah, it sucked losing to Stanford on national TV, not getting a chance at Duke. But all things considered, at least you salvaged the trip, got some momentum going for this week.
The final score of that Stanford game, look, Stanford came out and blitzed them from the start. UNLV is not 29 points worse than Stanford, but it's not the same thing, but I've used this analogy a couple of times talking to people. Kansas is not 32 points worse than Kentucky, but once it got out of hand, it just kept going. And that was what happened with Stanford. They could have picked their score. They could have won by 40 if they wanted to. UNLV just completely, the stage overwhelmed them. They lost all semblance of offense for long stretches of the second half, and defensively didn't get hands up, didn't do anything. But as you said, to me, the important thing was that response, because they were going to lose a game there, whether it was against Stanford, whether it was against Duke. They were not getting out of there 2-0. So if you just accept that, then 1-1 is the goal. And so how you get there, you know, is going to be left up to you. And so after such a bad loss, to be able to scrap it out, to see Chris Wood finally play the way that everyone knows he should be playing in the second half and carry the team across the finish line, I thought that was an important thing. Still, though, people like to clown on Wisconsin, like to clown on Wyoming for, like, slow, boring play. UNLV is lucky to hit 60 points right now. Like, this is kind of an all-time low as far as their point totals go. Case, do you think this is the freshman trying to figure it out, or is this just going to be a completely offensively challenged team?
I think it might just be this way. This brought me back, which I hadn't thought about in like 6 months or whatever, but we were talking about last year when all these kids were committing, how they're talking about, oh, I just love like the up-pace, up-tempo style they play. And we're like, what? Have they watched this team? And I don't know why. I mean, not that there's anything wrong with playing different ways, but I don't know why UNLV has this modern day, has this reputation of like running up and down the court and fireworks on offense when I haven't really seen much of them this year, but it just doesn't seem like that's going to be the case.
Yeah, it's still what they always, you know, say that they're trying to do. And look, Rashad Vaughn is not going to shoot. He was 4 of 19 over the two games. He's going to be better than that. And you're going to get, I think Cody Doolin has sort of started to click that they need him to score a little more than maybe than he initially wanted to, just because he likes being that distributor guy. But he's capable of putting in, you know, 8 to 10 on a given night. Chris Wood, that's kind of the biggest thing, I guess, to me out of the weekend, other than just coming back to get the 1-1 result. Is this just the one half, it's not even a full game, the one half example of what's going to frustrate people about Chris Wood, because he's going to just go back to drifting outside and all that stuff? Or is this game film finally what makes it click to him and makes him realize how dominant he can be in the post? Ray, what are we going to see going forward from him?
It's tough to switch a mindset of a player.
Once he's decided that he's Kevin Durant.
Exactly. I mean, and you just saw it. Big stage, first time he gets the ball, what's he do?
Chucks it.
What's Stanford do? Wide open shot, like three guys on the perimeter. Get your feet set, get aimed. Case and I could have had a chance of making the three. The guy was so wide open.
Yes.
Next thing you know, ball goes to Chris Wood. Don't worry, Kevin Durant misses every once in a while. Chucks it. Stanford comes down, fast break, three guys, feet set, three-pointer. And it got away from him. You know, my dad was telling me, my dad is like the biggest, harshest Dave Rice critic in the world. He leads the league in anti-Dave Rice.
I think we may know a certain employee at the UFC who has something to say about that, but go on.
He actually was like, boy, Stanford couldn't miss. And I was like, Dad, no. They were so wide open and they had so much time, they couldn't miss. Big difference.
It's both. Because even when you're – UNLV did not guard them at all. That helped them get into a rhythm. Still, even when you're open, you don't always hit 70% from three. Like, it was a combination of the two, but UNLV has only itself to blame for that.
I thought the best retweet was Anthony Marshall, a former Rebel point guard. To the something on the lines of, you got to play from the inside out, not the outside in.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what
everyone knows. Everyone says.
Now, if it's Rashad Vaughn heaving up the three, maybe it's okay.
You're okay with that because that's part of the reason you brought that guy in.
And I think he needs to shoot more. I think he was like 1 of 7 in the first half when they were behind a Morehead State.
Yeah.
I think he only shot the ball 8 total times against Stanford.
No, it was 10 in one game and 9 in the other.
Okay. Either way.
He went 2 of 10 and 2 of 9.
You got to find a way to get him involved and get him some feel-good-about-yourself looks to get that momentum going.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he just had a problem. He was a little bit sick this weekend, but more than that, I think the moment was too big for him, which is a ding against the kid just based on reputation, based on, you know, he was supposed to be the guy who – in those type of games, brighter the lights, bigger the stage, the better he plays type of thing. And to me, this is just more of an aberration or anything. I think overall he's going to be fine. If you want to take a concern from it, it's that he's already not a great defender, and when he was struggling to shoot, he seemed to check out even more defensively. That to me is like the big thing that you have to see, that you have to work on, because they can, you know, coaches will leave you in to get out of your offensive funk if you're still helping the team, if you are still helping at the other end of the court. But if you're not, then what good are you? You know, and that's where you see minutes go down. And he basically sat out the last 4 or 5 minutes of the Temple game. You know, this is your highly, highly touted recruit, possible one-and-done type of player, and you sat him at the end of a game here, and you should have. Like, it made sense to, because they were better without him for that stretch.
I hate to go back to the Finley Prep Gorman game, but when Gorman was putting it to him early and he just had no interest and he wasn't there, it was another, you know, big time moment. You know, the big city challenge, everybody at the South Point for the games, you know, those games get pretty crowded.
Yeah.
And he also couldn't find his way, so maybe there's some. There's no doubt the kid has talent. He's a good basketball player.
Oh, yeah.
A great basketball player.
He's going to be good this year.
It's just a matter of Rice and his staff developing him to where later in the season that you could lean on him for that 15-point-a-game big three that you need.
Yeah, and we saw flashes of that, and we'll certainly see more of it as he gets going, as you figure out how to kind of just keep your confidence up throughout a game. But so they have the week off before Saturday afternoon against Albany, home game, where we'll see if they can actually break 60 points this time. That'll be a first for the season if they do. But that game is the appetizer Saturday for the big meal, the big one, the 550-pound meal, the Fremont Cannon. Ray, how much have you been waiting for this game? And even with a 2-0, I guess what is your excitement level for it, considering UNLV is 2-10 and coming off of a game where they got jobbed at the end against Hawaii?
Well, I think as a native Nevadan, it forget about the records of either team or their history during the season. When that ball kicks off, the excitement is there, and you want to see your team win. You know, when I grew up in Southern Nevada, it was before the big boom, if you will, and there was 10 high schools in town, and you had to play a team from the north for state and youth sports and, you know, in high school sports, and we hated the north. We were trained and taught as kids that Reno was inferior to Vegas, and...
And you have definitely taken that lesson to heart.
Yeah, no, I listen to my elders. I mean,
I'm with you. I'm a Vegas guy through and through, but I love that you hold it against the people from Reno for thinking the same thing.
Well, it's different. See, Vegas has grown into this major. I mean, back when I was a kid, Reno also had the 702 area code.
Oh, that's.
But we've grown so much that they had to get their own 775. And, you know, they've been upset about that, if you will. We've grown.
Are they upset about that, or are you just projecting?
No, I think they were. Listen, Reno used to be the second largest city in Nevada. Now it's the fourth largest city. They have a great community feel.
What's second and third?
North Las Vegas and Henderson.
Oh, okay.
Well, they don't count? They don't have city councils?
To me, it's all the same thing, but I get your point.
Okay. You're in Henderson right now.
I am.
Later today, you're going to be in Vegas.
I am.
Okay.
I drive through Paradise to get there, although that doesn't technically count, does it?
No.
That's just unincorporated.
Yeah. Here's the bottom line, though. UNLV, a 2-1 season. You win Saturday. All is kind of forgiven. And this is not Chris Ault, Colin Kaepernick, UNR. This is...
I mean, Fajardo's good. He's not like that type of level.
He's a good player, and he's a great interview. And I remember covering him in high school. Smart kid. But Polian is no... Chris Ault. Polian, I think, gives UNLV a chance to possibly win the game. Now, I'm willing to bet my left leg. No, that's too much.
I love my left leg.
I'm willing to suspect that there's going to be more Reno supporters at Sam Boyd than UNLV supporters.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. This is the first time since 1977 that the game has been the final weekend of the year. Which I like. Bobby has wanted it that way for a while. Finally got it here, possibly in his last battle for the Fremont Cannon. We don't know.
He achieved something.
Yes, he did. Was Kate? What's the number? Do we have that?
10.
10.
UNR. Yeah.
So yeah, Reno 10, and it's such a weird spot for them too, because this was going to be essentially a game that they didn't even have to win to get into the West Division title, but because they got upset last week against Fresno, they're now out of it. They can finish tied for the West Division lead, but they're going to lose the tiebreaker. And so they last week lost out on their big thing. So now all of a sudden they're in the same position that UNLV has been in for the past month. Once they lost their seventh game, that's basically just, all right, this is all we've got left. You know, this is it. And so, you know, and that's the funny thing too. They're both coming off of games that would be, I think, prime hangover spots. You know, scoring with 15 seconds left to go ahead, and then the way all of that unraveled for UNLV, if anybody didn't see it. So they score 15 seconds, take the lead. A couple of players run down the sideline out of the team area, drew two separate unsportsmanlike penalties. So they're kicking off from the 10, sets up Hawaii with great field position. They drive down to the 20 with 5 seconds left, run a play. Looks like maybe time should have run out on that one, but there's a second left on the clock. Hawaii scores, storms the field, no flags, and that's the way that they have to
come. I didn't see that part of it.
Yeah.
That's legendary.
That they have to board the plane with that taste in their mouth. But when you have the only game where players, you know, up in Ely, players and Bobby are talking about Reno a little bit. You know, every game's the same, or we take them all one game at a time. Well, except for that one. Like, it does matter more to them.
And I know for a fact they start breaking down film of Reno.
They do it in the summer.
Yeah.
The
game plan is in for this game.
Yeah, that's what Bobby was saying yesterday at
the
weekly
presser.
He's going
down with a fake punt or two at least. Over under
well,
one
had,
and a half.
But he had a successful one against Hawaii, so I don't know.
It's back-to-back games. Right? Didn't he have a successful one in the game we were at? The Air Force game.
The game before that was on the road.
Okay, BYU. Well, the Air Force game, he had a fake field goal or punt?
I can't. I confuse all of his fakes.
He's back. Yeah,
the kickoffs, I guess, at BYU or Air Force was one of the things that was actually going well for him. But for Reno now, it's kind of the same thing, that this is it means more to them than an average game, but more than that, they don't have a conference title suddenly to play for, which I think they did.
Are they bowl eligible though?
Yeah, they are.
Yes.
Okay. Well, at least Brian Polian had managed to do that. Can't beat Fresno at home, which UNLV did. Brian Polian is just all smoke and mirrors. Comes in, he's like his dad, just a mover and shaker, but not an X's and O guy. My humble opinion.
I don't know. I think it would give him a little bit more time. I mean, he came into this situation where
he had an experienced quarterback.
Yeah, he had an experienced quarterback that ran a 100%. Like, went. Let's put it in your terms, since you're a high school football guy. He went from basically trying to. He tried to put in a totally different offense.
Well, why didn't he stick with Chris Ault's offense? Chris Ault. Then they named
because he's not Chris Ault.
Well, they should have hired someone.
Then if he stuck with Chris Ault's offense, you'd be sitting here making fun of, like, oh, they're running this Mickey Mouse offense. Don't they know it's 2014? I think this is a Reno vendetta.
You could.
I see you're my friend, aren't you?
Hey, no. I didn't jump off. I was critical, but I didn't jump off. I gave Hauk at least, I think, 3 years before I became outspoken against him. I think it's still we need a little bit larger sample size before we say Polian's not an X's and O's guys. He's done.
I agree. I think it's very possible that he doesn't end up lasting very long there, that it just doesn't work, but you definitely have to give him more time. There have been improvements year one to year two, and so and should have been in. It's a bad division in a bad conference, yes, but they were in contention for it. Could end up tying for the lead, which is something.
It's better than what UNLV.
It's not a lot, but it's something.
It's better than what UNLV.
I think that you might end up being right. And this, I'm just so baffled by this last week because I really thought I was really somewhat high on this Reno team before last week. I just cannot understand how you get outgained by 200 yards and lose by 20 to Fresno. I mean, every other game this year, I've been pretty impressed with them. They played Arizona really close.
Beat BYU at BYU.
Yeah, beat BYU. BYU's not having the best year, but still. I mean, Colorado State and Boise State, they both had. I mean, it could have gone either way. It was a game that was up in the air till the end. So I was
beat
actually
San Diego State.
Beat San Diego State. So I was actually thought they were having a good year until I just cannot understand what happened last week. It just makes no sense to me.
That's what Bobby said.
Maybe that's possible because I mean that's just a crazy score. That might have been the craziest score of the week to me in college football. I just did not make sense.
All right, Cannon, what color is it going to be next week, Case?
I gotta go blue.
Red.
Yeah, it's going back to blue.
Can I wear a red button-up shirt to the game?
You can. Yeah, that's allowed. Okay. I certainly hope that UNLV makes a game of this, gives them the best shot, all that stuff. I want it to be close because I'm tired of watching UNLV blowouts this year, but I can't in good conscience pick them to win after all I've seen this year. You just can't do it.
I know. I just, like I'd said earlier, you got to hit the reset button on everything. This is like the game they've been prepping for it. It's the one game players 1 to 105 at UNLV care about. The coaches care about. Forget about Bobby's status as the coach or everything else. This is a game everyone wants to win. I know all the kids are dressing for the game, even all the red shirts. And
they'll be wearing red shirts. Because that's another thing. Both teams, they did this last year too. Both of them are going to wear their home dark uniform. So it'll be red v. blue. And unfortunately, because UNLV lost that game 2 years ago when they had the special cannon decals on the helmets, they're never going to do that again, which sucks because those were awesome.
Here's the bottom line. Scarlet and Gray every day. Let's go.
There it was. All right. Ray and I will be out there for the games. I will also be at the basketball game against Albany this weekend. Eat some turkey. Get those leftover sandwiches. Honestly, I think the Friday's leftovers might be my favorite part of Thanksgiving in reality. So hopefully you can whip something up at your house. For Case, for Ray, I'm Taylor. Thank you, and we'll talk to you next week. I wasn't like-